Wow, great to see all of you here this morning. Just a privilege to get together, to travel with you, to worship the Lord together, and then to see what He has for us in His Word this morning. So welcome to all. To help us study together, got a couple of important things I want to take care of. First of all, I just want to pass out the Bible, so I'm going to ask the ushers to come forward. If you're in need of a Bible this morning to study with us, please raise your hand. They will pass the Bible over to you. If you need to keep that Bible, it's all yours. There's no charge for it, of course. Just raise your hand, the usher will pass you a Bible. Now, before we actually get into our study, a couple of things I want to mention by way of announcement. As Tim mentioned, promised to be a really busy week coming up in these coming weeks and all, but much going on. Jump on board. Get plugged in, because there's something for all of us in terms of growing in the Lord and fellowshipping the Lord together and all kinds of good things happening. Now, a couple of announcements for those of you who when Kathy's not here, if I don't mention it, I get asked at the door, and so I'll just mention it. Kathy is not with us this morning. She is speaking this weekend for the Horizon Christian Fellowship. It's their women's retreat. They're up at the conference center, Calvary's Conference Center in Marietta, and Kathy is their speaker, and she's up there sharing with the women of Horizon at their women's retreat. So that's where she is this weekend. I did that, and after first service, there still was one guy who decided to choose me. Hey, where's Kathy? And but just letting you know about that. Also, this last week, a dear, dear sister here in the fellowship, Peggy Lambert, went home to be with the Lord. And what a blessing. She always was to myself, Kathy, and so many around here. A key part of our Anna Fellowship, and just a really neat lady. If you saw her, you probably recognize her because she was often around here. And again, often had encouraging words for us, and she will be dearly missed. But the family has asked me to extend you an invitation. If you would choose to be a part of our memorial service, to come out and be a part of that, that's going to be a week from yesterday, this coming Saturday, the 17th, at 1 p.m. right here, will be the memorial service for Peggy Lambert. So come out, celebrate. We rest in where she is, but she will be missed greatly. Before we get into our study, one last thing, and of course, we all are aware of the fact that today is such it's an anniversary of that which happened, of course, 10 years ago on 9/11. And there are activities and special remembrances going on throughout the county. I see some churches are having some special get-togethers tonight. There's many opportunities to do that, but I just believe we'd be remiss if we didn't take just a moment and acknowledge and take a moment and pray for the families and friends of those who, of course, are remembering their loved ones and all. And we think of those who not only then, but along the way have gone in harm's way on our behalf. And so I just felt it was important for getting into our study. Just take a moment and recognize and remember along with them and to lift them in prayer. So I'm going to take a moment here. And actually, we're going to have a moment of silence. This is just for us to nothing to be said out loud, just in your own heart, as you feel led. You can just pray silently in your heart for them. But I'm going to allow for a moment of silence as we remember the events of 10 years ago and since. And then I'll say a word of prayer. But let's take a moment of silence. Heavenly Father, I count it a privilege to lead all of us in this time of just remembering and in particular lifting up to you, Lord, those who today are remembering the loss of a loved one, family member, a friend on that day 10 years ago. Lord, you are our comfort. You are our strength. You're the one that holds us together. So we pray for those who've suffered a loss. We pray you'll indeed draw them close, and they'll have a very real sense of your presence even now. Father, we think of those who went in harm's way on that day. We think of those who've gone in harm's way since then, and war and battle and all. Those who've given the ultimate sacrifice for us. We lift their family and friends to you also and pray for comfort and your ministry. We think of those who are serving, have been serving, are serving right now in harm's way. Lord, we pray, Lord, for their protection. We pray, Lord, you'll just really minister your presence to them right where they are, Lord. We think of those who are deployed, and those are home right now, but still, they sacrifice so much, Lord. Our privilege is to lift them up to you, praying again, Lord, for your ministry to them and their families who go through so much also. So, Lord, on this day of remembrance, we set all of these before you, and we thank you, Lord. We thank you. You are truly our refuge, our strength. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Before we do get in our study, just one more point here, and this is not some kind of a prophecy or something. But let me just share this in terms of, just to encourage you to be in prayer about it. We thank God for those who have indeed served or are serving in the military. We see Brandon here today. He's got his full uniform on. He kind of helps represent those who are serving right now. He's home on leave. But I think of those of you who are serving, have served, have gone in harm's way for us. And so we, of course, are very, very thankful. And who's to say what has been prevented because we've taken the fight there instead of letting them take it here? Who's to know? Only God knows. But because of so many, some of you right here and others have gone and served, you've taken the fight to them and put on their turf. And so we sit here protected, ultimately by God, but recognize your extension of so much. And so we thank that. But you know, let me share this, having said all that. And indeed, each one is gone. That was that a vital role, they said, who knows what we've been protected from. But let me just add this. This country has already responded pretty well to attacks, and we have those who are courageous and heroes and step up on our behalf. But it's my perspective that we have a much greater danger from within than without. What I mean is this. We know we have a country now that is working hard at ruling God out of everything, putting aside the morals and all that this country was founded upon and was such a part of our country for so long. So many people think it's so important to not mention God, not look to God. And what they don't understand is they're sowing seeds of corruption, moral corruption, spiritual corruption in our land. We stand a much greater danger of crumbling from within than attack from without. People get so upset because, oh my, there's a cross on a hill over there. And they get so upset about that, or that we should happen and name the name of Jesus or something in a prayer, at a public gathering. Not understanding that, if we put half the work into this country from the inside, its spiritual roots and foundations as we are from the outside, well, what a difference it would make. So thank God for those who are standing in terms of protecting our country, but oh, the danger that's within. Be in prayer for our country. Pray for our leaders, that those who need to will wake up, and that we would once again return to the only thing that really makes a difference, and that's the Lord. So I just thought, that's about enough politics for this morning, I guess. But be in prayer for our country. Recognize the great needs. And again, ultimately, I don't know where it's all going to go, but I just think we have a much greater danger of corruption from within than what's going to happen from without. Numbers chapter 9. Let's turn there. Let's see, 10 after 11, we might get a Bible study in here somewhere. Let's get to it. We're traveling through the Bible together. We're traveling with the children of Israel. We've arrived at the book of Numbers chapter 9. Let's turn to Numbers chapter 9. I'm going to go to verse 15, Numbers 9:15. See if you can pick up on a theme here. As we read through these verses, Numbers chapter 9, verse 15. Now on the day that the tabernacle was raised up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, the tent of the testimony. From evening until morning, it was above the tabernacle like the appearance of fire. So it was always, the cloud covered it by day and the appearance of fire by night. Whenever the cloud was taken up from above the tabernacle, after that, the children of Israel would journey. In the place where the cloud settled, there the children of Israel would pitch their tents. At the command of the Lord, the children of Israel would journey. At the command of the Lord, they would camp. As long as the cloud stayed above the tabernacle, they remained encamped. Even when the cloud continued long, many days above the tabernacle, The children of Israel kept the charge of the Lord and did not journey. So it was, when the cloud was above the tabernacle a few days, according to the command of the Lord, they would remain encamped. And according to the command of the Lord, they would journey. So it was, when the cloud remained only from evening until morning. When the cloud was taken up in the morning, then they would journey, whether by day or by night. Whenever the cloud was taken up, they would journey. Whether it was 2 days, a month, or a year that the cloud remained above the tabernacle, the children of Israel would remain encamped and not journey. But when it was taken up, they would journey. At the command of the Lord, they remained encamped. And at the command of the Lord, they journeyed. They kept the charge of the Lord at the command of the Lord by the hand of Moses. Anybody picking up a trend here? They had built the tabernacle. They're about a year out from their deliverance from captivity in Egypt. They're at the foot of Mount Sinai. And everything's been set in place. They're about ready to launch out on their trip to the land God had promised to them. And as they set up the tabernacle, the glory of God descended upon the tabernacle in the form of a cloud. That's what this is talking about. What we have set before us this morning is a really awesome picture of a people who were absolutely dependent upon and subject to divine guidance. They were going to be a people traveling through a wilderness. They were going to be going through unknown territory. They will be totally cast upon God for every step they take if they're going to arrive where they need to go. And so once again we see the children of Israel are an awesome picture of us. If you are indeed a believer, a follower of Christ, does this not describe us? Traveling through this life's journey as we are we not also traveling through a moral wilderness? Is it not a spiritually dry land all around us? There are so many voices that would tell us, go this way, go another. The culture, people, all these trends, everything comes along, go this way, do that. Don't go here. Take the step. Don't take that step. Everything beckoning, wanting control of our lives. How can we know which way to go? So we're going to take a look at it. I've called our time together this morning more than a cloud. Let's pray. Father, we gather in your love and so thankful that we can. And in your love, Lord, you desire us to not be knocked around, buffeted by this world and its opinions, but rather you desire us to know, to discover, to walk in your plans, your purposes, your will for us. Thank you that that can be our experience. But help us this morning, Lord. Help us to understand, to be encouraged in, just to grow in this whole thing of how you lead us. Lord, we do need, all of us need, and we want your leading. So Lord, help us now. Help us to lay hold of how this whole thing works. Speak to our hearts, we ask. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. To set the table this morning, consider the people who this is first addressed to in its context. Here we have these couple of million people. They've been delivered from their bondage in Egypt. And now they're going forth, and yet they're going to be people traveling totally dependent upon God for their direction. They don't know the route of safety to get them to where they need to go. They are as dependent upon God for direction as they are for food and water. You know all about the provision of manna and all through the wilderness. They're also going to be needing God's direction in that same way. See, there's no freeway signs telling them promised land 20 miles up ahead. There's no sign that says next off-ramp, Denny's, McDonald's, pull over. It's not like that. They've never been there. They don't have a map of it. They're traveling totally dependent upon God's leading. They could form no plans for tomorrow. When they camped, they didn't know if they'd be there for 1 day or 1 year. No good getting together and coming up with their own plans with one another. Hey, what do you think we should do? Where should we go? No. They were dependent upon God because no one had been this way. They didn't know where they were and where they were headed. Once they're on the march, they had no idea when they would halt. Theirs was a life of daily and hourly dependence upon God. And therein lies such a potential for blessing. The joy of discovering and walking in God's will. See, it's no accident that they are in this position, of course. God has designed all this. He's teaching them and us how to travel this life journey. God is teaching them an awesome lesson. And again, it's not just for them. Because follower of Christ, we're called to just such a life. We're called to walk in Jesus' steps. We're called to live a life of simple dependence upon God. And that's from day to day, moment to moment. Looking to Him for direction and the very purpose for our life. And the awesome thing is, He wants that for us. But how is that to occur? We want it, we hunger for it, but how does it occur? See, it's going to be much like it is for these Israelites. For they had to do what daily? They had to look up. Constantly, they had to look. The pillar of fire by night and the cloud by day, it represented God's glory and His presence amongst them. And so they had to look to God. It's His presence with them. And so they had to look to God for their direction. That's the example that's being set before us. Look at verse 22 again. Whether it was 2 days, a month, or a year that the cloud remained above the tabernacle, the children of Israel would remain in camp and not journey. But when it was taken up, they would journey. It's pretty straightforward. When the cloud moved, they were to move. There was a time to wait on God until He did move. But then when He moved, they were to move. When the cloud began to move, that was the time to begin to reason it, to debate it, to discuss it. That's not the call. They weren't to say, oh, look, the cloud's moving. Well, let's try to figure out where He's going. What do you think? No, it's time to quit. Pack up the tabernacle. Pick up our tents. Come on. We're on the road again. He's moving. Let's go. See, God had given them the marching order and the whole thing. And once He started to move, they were to go. They're not to decide where He's worthy of being followed. Gee, I don't know. That looks kind of like a tricky route right there. I don't think I'll go this time. No, that wasn't how it seems to work. But it also wasn't their responsibility to scout it out, figure it out. Their job was simply to do what God showed them. Stop, go, His timing, His way, left, right, it's up to Him. Their part was simply to strike camp and move out when God said so. And also, they weren't to be looking at the desert, the circumstances. They weren't to be looking at the obstacles. They weren't even to be considering the enemies they might face. Their place was to just go and stop as God said. Again, what did they need? They needed His leading. And the same for us. Years ago, a fellow pastor, a friend of mine, was telling me, he says, there's two books you can write that will probably be bestsellers. First one is How to Improve Your Marriage, because everybody's always wanting their marriage to be better. But the second one, he says, How to Know the Will of God. Because Christians are always struggling with, how do I know God's will for my life? How do you discover God's will? We all want that. But we struggle with it. We try to figure out so often. We get ahead, lag behind, all these things. But down deep, we recognize, just like them, we need God's leading. Because I don't really know what tomorrow holds. The events 10 years ago today show us. We don't know what the next moment holds. We think we do, we plan, but we don't know. We need God's leading through it all. And the awesome thing is, we can have it. And that's what I want us to leave here with this morning, encouraged in and just resting in and discovering that fact, that we can know and walk in His steps, His plans for us. Now, our text obviously is centered around this fact that they were being led by a cloud. Pillar of fire by night, cloud during the day, but that's the idea. They're being led by this cloud. Now, don't answer out loud, but how do you react to that when you hear that? that all they had to do was watch. They didn't have to wonder what God's will for them was. We'll just sit here day after day. Okay, oh, it's moving. Now we go. They were led by a cloud. All they had to do was obey it. Whatever the cloud did, you do what it does. Now, how do you react to that? It's possible that we may find ourselves thinking, I sure would be nice if his leading were that clear today. You know? Lord, I'll take a cloud, Lord. Lord, just make it a big neon sign that comes out of nowhere. Go there. Don't go there. Do this. Don't do that. Lord, I'll take a cloud, a sign, whatever you want to do. See, a lot of us wish that's how it worked, huh? But we got better. And I hope we'll all see that by the time we're through. See, this leading of a cloud worked for them because of their specific circumstances. What do I mean? They are all a group traveling together in one geographical location. So therefore, God can take them as a group, that's what he's telling them to do, and as a group, go from one location to another. Therefore, a cloud, a physical cloud, can do that. It can guide them as it moves and stops. But today, as Christians, we're part of millions of believers. And we don't have one geographical location. We are dispersed throughout this world. But not only are we different geographically, but there are different parts of the body of Christ. We have different callings. We have different gifts. So all these things, we're spread all over, doing different things, called to different things. There's not just one instruction, so to speak, in that regard. They're not one cloud that can move us all the same way, because that's not how it's doing it now. Thus, we need to see God's leading in our calling, in our gifts, in our circumstances. But what is important to remember this morning is that we have more than a cloud that will cause that to happen. By what means do we discover God's leading for our lives today? Do we get up and open the window and say, okay, is the cloud still outside? It doesn't work that way. So how do we discover God's leading for our lives? Interesting how we get used to this, what I'm about to say. But one of the main ways we can discover God's leading in our lives is that book you hold in your lap. If you're holding a Bible. Let me clarify that. Because it's not just a book. Some people say it's a good book, you know, a book of nice saying. No, it's God's inspired word. It's alive, active, sharper than a two-edged sword. It really is God-breathed. And in here we find God's will for our lives in so many ways. But we kind of get used to that. We don't maybe seek it and consult it as much as we should. Because I wonder sometimes if it wouldn't be true that, you know, we're praying, God, be okay if I do that, Lord? Do you have me do that, Lord? What would you have me do, Lord? And the Lord would say, you can stop praying. I've already told you in my word. Now, I don't know. I pick an example at the concert of maybe that would be too out there. I don't know. Lord, is it okay if I just take a little money from the cash register? We're short, and the boss won't really notice it. Or, Lord, how about if I tell a little lie? Just a little lie, but it's going to get me out of a whole lot of trouble, Lord. I'm just going to tell some lies here. Or, Lord, you know, somebody might be saying, Lord, me and that other person, we're not married, but we're really attracted to each other, and we're in love, you know, and so we really would like to sleep together. And Lord, could you issue a special, dispensation for me on this? The Lord said, you can stop praying on all those. I've already spoken. But I've got to believe he's got what's best for me. But he's already spoken on how I should live this life, what to do, not do, that we might discover him. See, God gives us the word of God that we might know the God of the word. Jesus said, you search the scriptures and think that in them you have life, but it's they that speak of me, and you won't come to me that you would have life. They bring us into fellowship with our God. We know the character of our God through it. So through the Word of God, I can discover His will for my life. How to get saved, but not just how to get saved, but how to walk this life. On the positive side, it teaches me how to be open to His working. It sets that example before me, the proof of His love and all, and the servant heart that Jesus has and all. It's all right there. I discover His leading through His Word. Now, secondly, another important crucial way in this is we have the Holy Spirit to guide us and lead us. When we receive Christ as Savior, the Bible clearly teaches that God, the Holy Spirit, comes inside. He takes up on the offer. You say, Lord, I open the door of my heart, come on in. And He does it. And now He's inside to offer to me, to wisdom. He leads me into all truth, it says. He gives that wisdom and comfort and all those things. He gives us what we call Holy Spirit. You know, He checks. A check like, whoop, don't go there. Go there. Don't do that. Stay away from them. All those things the Holy Spirit does. And guiding us step by step. Now, this flesh doesn't like the Holy Spirit being in charge. It still thinks it knows best and it can argue and fight with Him. But hopefully we learn the lesson, giving God the driver's seat. But as we do, He does that. Now, what's our part in that? As the Holy Spirit leads us, shows us what God would have through the Word or however that might come about. He's showing us these things. What they have to do? When the cloud moves, you move. When it stops, you stop. You do what the Holy Spirit shows you. You listen, you obey. That's the place of blessing. They had an external cloud. We have God, the Holy Spirit, in us. Better than just a cloud. We can know what God would have for us in His Word. We can have it in the leading of the Holy Spirit. Now remember, the cloud was a constant reminder of God's presence, His provision, and His protection for them. Holy Spirit serves the same thing in our lives. The Holy Spirit in you is God's reminder of His presence, His provision, His protection for you. Along with that, of course, we pray. We learn to pray the kind of prayer that listens as well as speaks. We seek godly counsel. Always by godly counsel, I mean counsel that lines up with God's Word. God can use a number of things to direct us with, but it's rooted in His Word and the Holy Spirit in our lives. And in that place, see, that's that attitude of close fellowship with Him that's going to result in us being led by Him. And it just does. You sense God saying, hold it. Okay, now, yeah, go there, do that. Just put your foot there, there, there. Okay, now we go forward. He just does. See, God sets it up so that we today are forced to stay close to Him if we're going to be led by Him. But as we do stay close to Him, He does indeed lead us. Now, why doesn't God just go ahead and show us the whole journey? You know, some of us would vote for that. Lord, just show me the whole thing right now. Can't you just show me where we're going, how we're going to get there, the whole thing? You know, Pastor Chuck Smith, who God used to raise up the Calvary Chapel movement, Pastor Chuck says that he has told God that, you know, Lord, if you'd told me through all these years what you were doing along the way, I wouldn't have given you so much trouble. Now that he's older and seen what God has done, he's able to say, oh, now I get it. Lord, how come you didn't tell me that along the way? Why wouldn't God just show us the whole journey? Because He designed this life to be a life walked in faith. That's just how God works. He wants us to trust Him, not circumstances. Because He wants us to have lives rooted on Him, not circumstances. Because circumstances are shifting sand. He loves us too much to look to things and plans. He wants us to look to Him. And it's faith, it's trust that honors God. You know the text, Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. See how it ties in? If you diligently seek him, he rewards. But it's faith. Without faith, we can't please him. Why? Because faith reveals trust. It shows what we really believe, if we're really looking to him. But as we do that, as we live day by day, just the conscious awareness of our need for him, spending time with him, looking to the Word, listening, developing a sensitivity to the Holy Spirit, he does indeed bless that. He's looking for us just to have faith. Now, with all that said, let's think of a little bit of application here for a few minutes. Remember, when the cloud moved, they had to move. It didn't matter what time of the day it was. It could be dinner time. All right, look at this dinner. This is looking good. Get that first bite. The cloud's moving. Lord, can't you wait a half an hour? No. The minute it moves, quick, pack up. Here we go. When it moved, it was time to move. What's the application there? Be careful you don't get so comfortable where you're at that you don't want to hear God. Oh, Lord, I've got my life set up just right. Everything's going pretty good. Work's going good. Family life's going okay. Lord, do you have to start a new chapter now? Can't we do that next year maybe? Be careful of being so comfortable, because it turns out, see, they would have missed out if they don't just pack up and go. Trusting that God's got better than what we think, than what we can set up. The declaration here basically is avoid ruts. Make sure you're not so stuck in comfort and all that you can't almost afford to hear God. You know the old saying, the only difference between a rut and a grave is the depth and the length. What's that old sign? There was an old sign I heard way back in the covered wagon days, right outside St. Joseph, Missouri, where the big wagon train trail started. Well, so many trains had gone over that, wagons, and so much rain that there are all these deep ruts. And so there's a sign somebody put up that said, pick your rut carefully. You're going to be in it for the next 200 miles. And that's the idea. Avoid ruts. Are you stuck? Is God saying, come on, time to move? I'm quoting Pastor Chuck a lot today. Pastor Chuck always says, blessed are the flexible, for they shall not be broken. God wants to move you forward, go for it. Is God telling you to get involved somewhere? Is God encouraging you to get involved with the kids or a ministry or reach out to someone or whatever it might be? He wants to start a new chapter in your life. Trust him. When the cloud moves, just move. Some of us, though, perhaps we're on the opposite side of the pendulum there. We're moving. We're moving right along. We're pretty sure we know what God's doing. We know where God's going. Come on, God. Let's go. Let's get going here. We got all. And you know, we're making pretty good time at it, Lord. This is going pretty good, Lord. See, for some of us, we're so sure of what God is doing and where he's taking us. But all of a sudden, he stops. That's my imitation of a break. Some poor breaks. I had to study all night for that, you know. Anyway, all of a sudden God puts on the brakes. For us, it's the other way around. We go, Lord, wait, Lord, what are you doing? Lord, I can see the destination. It's right over there. Come on, let's keep going. And so we're real quick to tell the Lord where he's going, how he should get there, and his timing in it. Lord, let's just keep moving until I say it's time to stop. Because I know the thing. I know the best way to do this, Lord. Or maybe some of us are just so sure of the direction that God's going to take us, but all of a sudden the cloud indeed heads a different direction. Some of you know what that's like. You're going along pretty well, and all of a sudden life had a turn that you had no idea that was going to happen. An event, a circumstance, something happened, and you go, Lord, wait a minute. What's this about? Why the sudden turn, left, right, whatever it is here in all of this. Lord, are you sure that's the right turn? Lord, check the map one more time. Check the map, because I'm sure you don't want me to go that way. I say all this because I've been there. I know what it's like for all of us. Be very careful. We are to live our life in total dependency upon His will, not ours. We must come to understand that really is the place of blessing. But it's a walk of faith, not sight. We don't see around the next corner. We never did. We never really were in control. We thought we were. So it's time to journey, trusting God in it, just step by step, obeying Him, seeking Him, letting Him lead. And may I say this, always make sure indeed it is God leading you. Because there are a lot of things and people and the culture and all that compete for that place in our lives. Here's what you should do. Here's how to act. Here's what to get involved in. Everybody's got their opinion, but make sure it's God that's leading us. And for that, we must wait on God and God alone. And again, therein lies a great danger for many of us. How often do we think, indeed we firmly believe, that the cloud is moving and we are confident that it's moving that way, and guess what? That happens to be the very way we thought it should go. Or we think it's God doing this in our lives, but our will, our pride too often gets in the way. We want to do a certain thing, and what do you know? We prayed, God said yes. How cool. How do you know for sure? Got to be really careful when all of a sudden you find God is agreeing with you. And it happens quickly, and we have to be careful about this. What I'm saying is this. The wind of our will, now listen to this one. This message has a couple of sentences. Some of you should be writing down, by the way. This is going to be one of them. This is going to be one of them. I just saw somebody take their pencil and go, I won't look at that person right now, but I was blessed by that one. The wind of our will can stir up such a dust cloud of emotions and feelings that we mistake it for the cloud of God. The wind of our will can stir up such a dust cloud of emotions and feelings that we mistake it for the cloud of God. Oh, look what God's doing. When really it's us, our will, that we're imposing upon Him. Again, when you find God saying what you wanted Him to say, you really have to examine if that is really God. Take lots of time in prayer. Study the Word, get godly counsel, and listen to the Holy Spirit. And be willing to admit when God's saying, hold it. See, the secret to being rightly guided by God is to take at least 12 years of seminary. No. The secret to being guided by God is maintaining a close fellowship with Him. It's having your will thoroughly subdued to God's will, settling the issue of who's in the driver's seat. Now, again, I know that our flesh and all fights for that driver's seat, but our flesh doesn't serve us well. Our self-will doesn't serve us well. God sees what's up ahead. We don't. You know the text, Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, what? That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How can I know what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God? By not being conformed to this world, being transformed, the renewing of our minds, the yielding of the Holy Spirit, soaking ourselves in our fellowship with God. It's in that place that He does just that, that He guides, He renews, He guides, He gives wisdom along our path. Our eyes have to be off ourselves and on to God if we're truly to see the cloud move. They had to have their tents set up towards the tabernacle. They did. The flap is open. They're watching that tabernacle. They're watching God. Eyes off themselves and onto the cloud. So when the cloud moved, they were ready. Mark 8:34, when he, that's Jesus, had called the people to himself with his disciples also, he said to them, "Whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." The Lord who made us said, "Hang on to your life and you lose it for me and you'll find it." He's the one who made us. And he says here, deny yourself. Get out of the driver's seat. Take up your cross. That's the life of surrender to him. And follow me. Now, when someone says follow me, that means they're going somewhere. Jesus is going somewhere. He's got a calling. A blessed way to walk this life. I didn't say easy. I'm not promising a rose garden. But a place of knowing him and all that, that traveling with him is involved in. He's going somewhere. What's our part? Follow. Not lead. Follow. But I know that sometimes we're in that place where we're looking to his word. We're spending time in prayer. We're developing a relationship with God. We have a sense of the Holy Spirit speaking to us, and we're growing in that, but we're doing all that. But we find ourselves sometimes saying, "Lord, I prayed and prayed, but I don't seem to be getting an answer. Lord, I've been praying about this a long time, and it seems like you're not giving me an answer. How come no answer?" Sometimes we come up with answers to that question. Why is there no answer from God? Why is the cloud not moving? We come up with answers like, "Well, you must be in sin. It must be something in your life. That's why you're not hearing from him." No, sometimes the cloud isn't moving. Sometimes we're just supposed to sit there and wait. That's a rough place to be, huh? I've been there. You ever been there? You're in the waiting room of God. And so we find ourselves, "God, I've got a deadline here." You do know that, right, Lord? I got to get moving here. Sometimes the hardest part is waiting on God. Wait for the cloud to move. What's this about? A day, two days, a month, a year, 2 days, and we're going, "Lord, let's get this show on the road." It can be hard. I know, I've been there. But it doesn't necessarily mean you've been in sin, you did something wrong. Perhaps it's just time to wait. And God can have that going on for a lot of reasons. He's working in us, preparing us for what he's about to move. He's working in the situation that he's going to be moving us into, and he's got to get it ready for that. There's so many things he could be doing in that whole thing. But all he says is, just wait. The Israelites were not to wait when the cloud moved, and they were not to move when it was time to wait. Second sentence to write down in your notes. Hopefully you're writing more. The stopped cloud was as much God's will for them as the moving cloud. Make sure you see that. The stopped cloud was just as much God's will for them when it was stopped as when it was moving. Same for us in our lives. When we're on that holding pattern, when we're waiting, that's just where you can be right in the center of God's will and still be waiting on him. Again, a lot of times we just think the stopped cloud means that nothing's happening, but often God is working in all that. It has been well said, God orders our stops as well as our steps. That's not half bad. You could write that down too. That one I borrowed from someone. God orders our stops as well as our steps. But we can trust him in both the stops and the steps. Think how much trouble it would cause if they would have done either without God saying. What if they were sitting there and they're going, "You know, it's been a week. I'm moving on. Come on, honey, let's pack up the tent. Let's head out. Joe, where are you going? I'm tired of waiting. I'm going out ahead of you guys. I'll wait for you up ahead. I'm on the move." What would all his neighbors do? "Oh, man. Joe, you don't know what you're going to get into." See, we want to do that. Or what if God had started to move and they said, "I think I'll just wait. But I'll catch up with you later. I'm going to stay here. I kind of like it. It's comfortable here." Again, oh, no. Disaster. Move when you're supposed to move. Stop when you're supposed to stop. I.e., do what God shows you as He leads you in His Word by the Holy Spirit. The point this morning is they were to live totally dependent upon God for direction and everything else. And so are we. We're to camp when He says to, go when He says to. That's the place of blessing. There's such a joy of being led by God and discovering all this and how it works and growing in it. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. So He wants us to know. He wants us to hear. There's such a joy of discovering and walking in His will. It's not all, ooh, we pray, we study the Word, we learn to be sensitive to His leading by the Spirit, and off we go. And we grow in it, but it's such good stuff. If you've never received Christ as Savior, the first instruction He would have you hear is that Jesus says, I am the way. You follow Him to be saved. You receive Christ as Savior to be saved. Get that settled today. But believer, follower of Christ, we are to travel with a realization that we are totally dependent upon God for His direction. And that's the best place to be. Let Him have that driver's seat. Let Him have the steering wheel. Let Him be right there. I personally think it's a very awesome, cool thing, but not easy. I'm just like you. We struggle with, we argue with, try to figure out, we guess, everything else. Struggle with the waiting, all those things. And yet, stop and think about it. Think how much they could have rested. Think how much we can rest if we just learn how this whole thing works and let Him do the leading. See, that's the awesome thing. God wants to. God wants to direct you and me. He doesn't want us to flounder. We don't have to try to find our own way through this life. We don't have to find our own purpose and direction and all. I don't have to go through wandering around in this life. For all of us, God actually wants to lead us. We can have God guide us. The encouragement this morning, don't settle for anything less. You can invite the worship team up to wrap us up. You've been very good students this morning. We've had a lot packed in, a lot going on around here. If you need a prayer this morning, go to the prayer room. They'd count it a privilege to pray with you. As Tim has mentioned, about 10 minutes or so after this service wraps up, if you'd like to receive communion this morning, come back in here about 10 minutes afterwards. We'll be having our communion time this morning. Well, this week kicks off the men's study, women's study, the Calvary Kids Club, so much. Planning for the Joy Club, lots of awesome things. Jump on board. See if God would have that be where He wants to take you in this whole thing of seeking His leading for our lives. Well, let's pray. Lord, what an awesome thing that You would love us like You do. Not just giving us that security of our eternal destination and knowing how to get there, but day by day, moment by moment, we can experience Your presence, Your provision, and Your leading. Help us to grow in that. Help us to not look around, but to look up. Help us be those who grow in it and just an increasing just sensitivity to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Help us to truly spend that time with You, time in Your Word. Lord, but thank You. Bottom line is thank You that You do lead. You do love. You do have plans and purposes. Lord, thank You. All this, Lord, we give You praise for. We do it in Jesus' name. Amen.